Okay, I think we're ready to start. I'm Linda from Hazelwood, and we're going to be doing a prayer. We're going to be doing a prayer, okay? This helps, doesn't it? Okay. I'd just like to say first that I'm thankful that we could be here together in this wonderful facility today to worship our Lord and learn about our Lord and to fellowship in our Lord together as women today. It's a special time and a special opportunity. Let's pray. Our Father, I want to thank you that we can be here together today to worship you, learn about you, and grow in our walk with you. First, thank you for the ladies of Covenant Reformed who earnestly prepared for us to be here today. Thank you for their kindred spirits of hospitality, preparing food for this special breakfast and break, and opening their hearts to us. Thank you for the ladies who have earnestly prayed for your word to be laid out today and received with an eager heart, mind, and soul. Thank you for the ladies who are attending this spring gathering. Open their hearts, ears, and eyes for everything we are about to partake in of this church today. Thank you for the ladies who could not attend today for whatever reason, but are here with us in their hearts. Encourage our church ladies to hopefully encourage more of these ladies to attend next year. Thank you for the families who are taking care of children or responsibilities at home so that each of these women could be here. I also want to thank you for our churches, our pastors, and our elders who support us as women in our endeavors. Thank you for the ladies of our Western Carolina Presbytery team who have faithfully prayed, arranged all of the printed materials with keeping their God at the center of everything, faithfully attended meetings to plan and pray for God to be at the center. We are so thankful that we have Elaine Seals added to our team as our technical director, which has allowed us to help present our hopes and plans for our ladies. We ask that you send to us other ladies that might be interested in joining our team. And thank you for our sweet, precious lady, Kathy Merrill, our speaker today, who loves you with all her heart and faithfully shares you with everyone, whether one-on-one or in a group, as she is doing today. Thank you for in advance for the love gift offering that's going to be given today. We lift each of these groups up to you and our ladies for the desire to be a part of assisting their needs. We know that you're with us today, and thank you for keeping us in you. It is all about you and how much we love you and for everything you do for us. Don't ever let us take you for granted. You are our everything. In Jesus' name we pray. And we will be doing the love gift offering shortly, and it tells you in the bulletin or program how to make your checks, and it will be WCP WMT Treasure and designate it for the love gift. Thank you.
Okay, we're doing something a little different before we do our song. Before Julie, thank you for the music. Isn't she wonderful? So great. I love her countenance when she sings. That's so beautiful. What I want to do with you first is so important when we sing songs that we really sing the words and know what we're singing. I think sometimes we fail to even understand the words. We're so used to singing them. I got to tell you, I'm going to share with you, I've shared with a lot of people, so if I'm repeating it, you just have to listen again. I asked the Lord for another song that would go with his program, and he woke me at 2:30 one morning with Faith is a Victor. I'm going, yeah, oh yeah. So I get up. See, it's good when your husband's Jesus Christ. You can get up anytime you want, go to the computer and do whatever. And I pulled up the words and I said, hey, God, you're so on target as usual. And this is why we're doing this. I want you to understand these words because it's a song that God gave me 2:30 in the morning. And so I want you to look at the words. Okay, encamped along the hills of night. Ye Christian soldiers, rise. We're encamped and ready to go to battle. Press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. And we know that's the strength we walk in Jesus Christ. And faith is the victory, we know, that overcomes the world. That song, this song, was inspired by 1 John 5:4 that we're going to go over in a few minutes. Okay, his banner over us is love. Is that the one we have? Okay, girls, let me tell you about this. His banner over us is love. Now, I want you, I'm talking about Exodus 17, 15 when I tell you this. Moses, the Israelites were going into battle with the Amalekites. And Moses stood on a hill so they could see him, raised his hand and a rod, which was a banner. It was a banner. And so they could see that banner. And he, as long as his arms were up, remember, they were winning. The Israelites were winning. When the arms went down, they started losing. So and Aaron went and held them up for him. Okay, this is a banner, a flag. Okay, a banner is so important because that's the protection and the ones we're serving and the reason we put our heels down and keep going. Banner, you see the flag, it represents who we are, who we're fighting for, what nation it is. Our soldiers, and here I go again, military, I won't get away from military. When our soldiers go to battle and they have the American flag held high, they know who they're fighting for. You can't stop them. They're going on and they're protected under this banner. This is what was happening in Exodus. This is the banner. And in stand up for Jesus, his banner held high, must not suffer loss. Same thing. Don't you love it? When scripture's with scripture and these men put it in song, this is just beautiful. But I want you to think about that. Also in Isaiah 13, 2, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. They go into the gates of the nobles. This is proclamation against Babylon. So I want you to understand the banner. And we tread the road the saints before with shouts of triumph trod by faith that like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. By the faith by which they conquered death is still our what? Shining shield. And we're going to pick up the shield in just a few minutes. On every hand. Oh, good. Every hand, the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. This is what we were learning about in Ephesians. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight principalities, the things of the world that Satan puts in our face. Okay, let tents of these be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread and echo with our shout. And the shout, of course, is faith is the victory. And then to him that overcomes the foe. How many times in scripture do you see overcomer? Get in it. You're going to see it a lot. White raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame will vanquish all the hosts of night in what Jesus' conquering name. Okay, Julie. Sing this with Julie. This is a wonderful song. And it was mentioned by God to me.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith
as usual. Have they already taken up the offering? Oh, good. Speaking of offering, I have to share this with you too. I have a dear friend of mine. She's African American. I love her to death. I've got several and I love to death. And she told me this. She says, Kathy, when we take up the offering, we have to pass it by the pastor. If he doesn't think there's enough in it, they pass it around again. Oh, we couldn't get away with that. I know. I want to continue telling you something, though, about the banner. When the Israelites won the battle, Moses built an altar, called it Jehovah Nissi. His banner over us is love. And so the banner I really love the banner because, again, I love military. So you're going to fight under. And our banner is Jesus Christ. And his banner over us is love. And we're to reflect that to everybody we come in contact with. So we're under his banner. And we're marching under his banner. Now we're going to take up the shield of faith. Verse 16 of Ephesians 6. So before we take it up, let's pray again because this faith is amazing. I love this thing. Okay, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, how we praise you for the armor you give us. How we praise you because you give us insight to see you everywhere in everything. Help us to understand your Holy Spirit so directs us, wants us to see you and you be magnified. God, I thank you for all these women. Thank you for their prayers. And I ask that we continue in prayer as we discuss the rest of this armor. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. KJV says, above all. And if you got the devotions, you saw that I made a note of that and asked you the question, why do you think it says that? So I hope that you checked into it. Okay, the song we just sang, Faith is the Victory, and this is on your sheet, your scripture sheet. If I can find that again, the scripture sheet. And it's 1 John 5:4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And that song is based, take it line by line, everything he did. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. In Hebrews 11:6, and you may want to jot that down, we read that without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That is Hebrews 11:6. Ladies, faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. Our muscles, if we don't use them, atrophy, get weak, like some of mine are here. They get weak. We have to use our faith and put it in our lives, determined to let it be a part of our lives because it is like a muscle and it will grow with that. A shield is used to protect us. And according to verse 16, against the flaming darts of the evil one. Okay, this shield and the little gift they're going to give you if you stay and turn in your name tags and the survey, it is so neat. It's going to be a review. And it's going to tell you this again. This is the little booklet. Okay. This shield was wooden and about 3 by 4 feet. It had iron around it. Before they went into battle, they would dip those shields in water. And then when the enemy came firing their fiery darts at this shield, they would extinguish immediately. Because it was watered and they already had it up there, protected there. Sometimes the soldiers, now this does more than personal protection equipment. If you've got that up, personal protection equipment. This also protects their whole unit, okay? We're going to talk about the tortoise. I said it right, didn't I? Okay, I keep saying turtle. I'm from the South. Okay, tortoise. That's the tortoise formation military. And what they would do, as you can see here, the soldiers would stand side by side with their shields against each other, and flanked on both sides, those shields right together. And then the ones in the middle had the shields over their heads locking. And that was impenetrable. You couldn't get through it. You could drive a vehicle over it and it wouldn't go. And this is how we are going to have to do. This is a unity thing. When you and I apply that shield of faith, and we think of the tortoise, I'm going to get more into it in a few minutes. That's a protection for you, for your family, and for your church families, and for the churches that are Bible-believing churches. And we must protect each other. I'm going to emphasize it more a little bit later. And the verse, it's coming. The verse is coming. It'll be here. Okay. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near, as you see what? The day of Christ, the day of God when he's coming back. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but join together. You need each other. We need each other for support. We need each other for prayer. This whole thing today is a result of many of you praying. You have a part in this ministry because you have prayed. And as you see the day approaching, don't you see it approaching? We're going to face more persecution. We're going to face more problems. We must unify. And that means to seek God. Do not forget to meet. Do not neglect to meet together. I go through this with some of my friends who are talk that Mother Nature stuff. But this is what we have to do to have a unity. And this particular weapon, the shield of faith, is the only one mentioned for a specific purpose. This piece is given for our protection against all of the false accusations and temptations of the great deceiver. And this is, why I'm saying this. The lies, false accusations tear churches all to pieces. They tear our relationships all to pieces. And you break the tortoise. And we have to unify and protect one another. And when we protect one another in that kind of unity, we're not going to allow people to put each other down. We won't allow people to talk negatively about a church that's in trouble. Pray for that church. When you know it's in trouble, you pray for that church. They're part of your body. And we're part of the body, all of us. And we're going to have to unify as we see the day approaching. So I'm going to look at Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 5. It's on... Wait a second, that's the wrong one. I'm going to use it two times. Okay. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. He is our shield. In all the weaponry, like I said, this is the only one. And this is the one that we share to help one another. And it has that specific purpose. The only one given a specific purpose. Because of the shield of faith, we as followers of Christ are protected against temptation. This is because we are trusting God that he will provide everything we need. Rather than fear, we are to have faith above all. George Mueller said this. I've used it a lot. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. You want me to say that again? The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. The opposite of faith is fear. In Psalm 7, verse 10, and you've got it on your paper, David says, my shield is the is God Most High who saves upright heart. Girls, faith shuts the mouth of fear. Faith shuts the mouth of fear. Protection. How important is protection for us? We desire both physical and spiritual protection. We are so blessed that we have a God who protects us spiritually, physically. He walks with us. He's in us. He protects us. We have a picture of, I'm not going to say that. Okay, I'm going to compare the protection given to the hazmat team of a shield. Okay, a shield protecting the face, okay. Okay, we'll use this one over here. Protects the face, and that protects the eyes from getting chemicals spilled in it, from debris flying up in it, anything that would affect the eyes. That's what the shield is used for, that we put over the face. It also, we also have here the PAPR that we talked about. Sometimes, and in my profession, we had to watch out for blood splattering in our face. So it depends on where they're working as to what they're having to watch, but that protects them. Okay, and we're going to look at our powered air purifying respirator. And that's in this one, number C, our powered air purifying respirator. That filters out contamination. That filters out all the junk. And that can mean dust. It can mean fumes. It can mean smoke. It can mean harmful gases or vapors. It is battery run and has a fan providing clean, breathable air through the filters and supply hoses connected to the full or half face mask or mouthpieces. Again, I mentioned the spiritual pollution that surrounds us. Lies, sexual sins, hate, anger, rage, immoral behavior, fighting. Don't you think we need clean, fresh air so that we can function mentally as well as physically? And our spiritual powered air purifier respirator is who? The Holy Spirit. He is the air we breathe. I love it. I love that little song too, but I won't sing it to you. Okay, here's the air I breathe. The word spirit, now listen to this. The word spirit comes from the Latin word breath. And in Hebrew, it's ruach, ruach. Put your hand over your mouth and say ruach, ruach. Do you feel the breath? Okay, and that's what it means. It's the breath, ruach. As followers of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us, providing us with clean, breathable air. He blesses us with a spiritual oxygen transfusion, cleaning the polluted air in the environment that surrounds us. Cleaning the air in that. Okay. When we are deprived of oxygen, it causes us to be like this. Or we're confused, or we're off balance, or our temper is out of whack. Without the oxygen of the Holy Spirit, we become confused, unable to comprehend, throws us off balance, ugly with other people. We must have breath. I have asthma, and when I lack breath, I need an emergency inhaler so I can function. Each day, I have to have the fresh breath of God so I can function. So when I have my devotions, usually around 4:15 in the morning, the Holy Spirit funnels fresh air right into my being so I can function. I'm not oxygen deprived because He is right there with me, guiding me and directing me. Isn't that wonderful? He is my emergency inhaler. Some of the things I said before that I see takes my breath away. I hear things like, oh no, I can't fathom that. And I don't even want to think about that. But that's just getting old too, I guess. Some of the things I do see bother me. And this is one thing I want you to understand. You already know it. With all the hazardous materials available to us, we understand that evil has become too user-friendly and that it's so accessible. Okay? It's become too accessible. Push a button. Touch the screen. There it is. Do we commit the toxic sin of not suiting up with our protective shield? Don't you love that shield of faith? And I'm going to challenge you again with the tortoise in just a few minutes. Okay, now we're going to suit up with the helmet of salvation. So let's read in verse 17 of our text. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay. The Roman soldier's helmet was made of bronze or iron. And it had little gidges here, fat cheek, to protect the cheek and the face. Also had a little, and this guy has one, a little barrier here to protect the back of his neck, so that when arrows are flung in those vulnerable places, they wouldn't affect him. But that's how his helmet was made. It was fashioned to protect his skull and neck from the enemy. Our primary battlefield is spiritual warfare is our mind. Because Christ lives in us through his Holy Spirit, and because of this assurance of our salvation, Satan's attacks are defeated. We've already noted that Satan is the father of lies, and that is the only language he speaks. It is his native tongue. The way we determine what is true is with our mind. And when we feel an attack over our mind, we need to always remember scripture verses. And I have them here for you under the helmet of salvation. One is 1 John 5:19-20. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. He gives us understanding. He gives us wisdom to apply the knowledge. We can have all the knowledge in the world, girls, but if you don't have wisdom to apply it, it's not worth a nickel to you. And wisdom comes from God. When I pray for doctors who are taking care, especially of my family, I always pray, God, give them the wisdom to use the knowledge that you've already taught them. It's the same with us. God, give me the wisdom to use the word you've already taught me. Because it has to come from him. We overcome confusion with wisdom. Who's the author of confusion? Satan. And I've learned at my ripe old age that when I am involved in a lot of confusion, I try to get away from it because I know it's of Satan. Confusion comes from Satan. So we overcome confusion with wisdom. In watching what goes around in our world today right now, and I see so much hate and so much anger, if your mind is full of hate, if your mind is full of unforgiveness, there's no room for wisdom. You can't possibly have wisdom because you're overtaken by anger, by rage, by unforgiveness. There's no room for wisdom. We see that especially in business and entertainment. I say entertainment loosely. Education and definitely in government. We're in the world, not of it, sisters. That gives me great comfort. Okay, and we're reminded by Paul in Romans 12:2. I don't know that I have this down here. Romans 12:2. Okay, turn to Romans 12:2. This verse tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Conforming to the world right now is so easy because, like I said, the sins around us are so accessible. But we can't conform. I get a little concerned because people who've taken a big stand, great stand, for the principles of the Word of God and of God say, well, you know, maybe that's not so bad. Maybe we're making too much of it. This is how Satan comes in, the great deceiver. He comes in this way, oh, maybe it's not that bad. It's bad. If it's not of God, it's bad. And when we start compromising what we think, and people say, maybe you do not choose a certain lifestyle, they say, you hate that person. No, we can't condone the lifestyle. There's a huge difference. But we have got to stay with the Word of God. And every time we're in the Word of God, we're right. And always be prepared to speak for Him, because He's right. Again, He's been defeated by Jesus Christ, but we have ongoing battles. Okay, just as God alerts us to the evil around us, He always gives us a way to battle that evil. In Matthew 22:37, I may have that as a reference in here. I don't know. But anyway, Matthew, we're going to jot it down, 22:37, He directs us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That covers it, doesn't it? Suited up with our helmet of salvation, we are to apply directions from our commander and chief. In Isaiah 26:3, we are told, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Woo! That eliminates the news. I tell you what, I do that. I have a channel I listen to the news, OANN, so that I know how to specifically pray for this country and to pray for the world, because we've got to pray. But this channel doesn't give me all that commentary that you're hit with all the time, OANN. And so I listen to them, and a lot of times when we hear the news, I've done this for a long time to keep my mind kind of balanced. It struggles at times. If I hear the news, I will read one of the Psalms. Some days the news requires two Psalms. But I do that to keep a balance, because remember, everything that goes in us has a cause and effect. I have found a channel, an inspirational channel, that's starting at 2:30 in the morning and goes through. They play wonderful music with beautiful pictures and the Word of God on top of it. And I love that, because it does get you ready for the day and gets me ready with my devotionals. Okay, Oswald Chambers says this: your mind is the greatest gift God has ever given you, and it ought to be devoted entirely to Him. You should seek to be bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that's 1 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Unquote. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we are told to have the mind of Christ. And 1 Peter 1:13, I tell you, 1:13. People say, you've got to have a more open mind. You've got to be emptied of what you're thinking. Open mind, look out. That's dangerous. I don't want them opening my mind. I don't know what they're going to put in. So this is what I want to tell you about this. And our primary, okay, where am I right here? Okay. We can't just have our mind open. We've got to be able to zone in on the things of the Lord. And we have to have the mind of Christ. In 1 Peter 1:13, and that is on your scripture page, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, and that means girding up the loins of your mind, means to be disciplined and diligent in preparing for battle. And being sober-minded, that means sensible, set your hope fully on the grace that would be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then also we see in 4:7, right under it, The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. We have to listen to other people, but we don't have to fill our minds with it. And if they start too far out, I don't pay much attention. I was chastised a while back. I'm used to it. Because I didn't go along with some symbols that some other Christian women wanted to use. About a movie, it was a shack. I said, no, I'm not doing that. So I was called a scripture puritist. It wasn't a compliment coming from them, but I thought, ooh, that's good. I'll take that, scripture puritist. That sounds good to me. Okay, so we can't be open-minded to anything or empty-minded. We have to be sober-minded. Okay, our helmet of salvation is secure because Jesus Christ has secured it with his blood, and we don't have to worry about losing it when it's attacked. When the hazmat team suits up with their helmet, it must be secure and can't be loose. Okay, this little fella, no, we don't have. Anyway, the one with the work uniform, he has a helmet. Oh, you've got, has a helmet. She is just so good over this. And he's got a band across the top, but he's got a harness-like thing under that helmet that secures it to his head. Because he's got to have it on no matter what, even without the chin strap, which is what he has up. It should be down. But it has to hold even without the chin strap. They cannot worry about losing it in battle, in the battle that they're fighting. That has to stay secure. There are really two types of helmets. One's more protective of the blows that come from above, and another is more protective of the entire head. Our helmet of salvation is secure. Let's read John 10:28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, that's great. Do we commit the toxic sin of feeding our minds with the wrong information by seeking advice and direction from the wrong sources? Okay, we're going to pick up the sword of the Lord. Okay, this is the only offensive weaponry in our armory. And this one, where'd that booger go? It's right here. And it's more accurate because their swords weren't that long. But the only offensive weapon here is this, the sword of the Lord. Two Greek words are commonly translated here. This is so good. The word of God, and it's translated here. In English, the words mean logos, which describes the Bible as a whole. But there's another one called rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema, a Greek word. That means particular sayings, particular passages for a particular problem, rhema. The Bible as a whole is an armory from which we can select swords for specific battles. We have to know where to find them. Jesus, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to see this is the temptation of Satan against Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And it's going to be verses 1 through 10 or 1 through 11, I think. Matthew 4. This is when Satan, the Spirit, drove Jesus into the wilderness. And this was after 40 days of no food, fasting. 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. You know, I always thought, that is the most cruel thing. Because he had to be weak. There's no way you would not be weak. Because remember, he was God and he was man. And that's how come, ladies, that's how come he relates so well with us. And when we have these temptations and things come at us, we can't say, well, you don't know. You've never been there. On the cross, he was offered gall, which was really opium. He turned it down. I wouldn't have cared if he'd used it. He turned it down. So I've been able to tell people who have problems with drugs, Jesus didn't know about that. Oh, yeah, he did. And he was in pain when he turned it down. So every temptation that comes to us has come to Jesus Christ. That's how come he can stand on the last day and judge those who don't know him. You never knew. Yeah, he did know. I went off base. Okay, Matthew 4, 11, 1 through 11. Let's start with that. And this is Jesus. Okay, let's see. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, can't you hear that? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, and girls, he answered from Deuteronomy chapter 8. He answered. He used scripture, his rhema. He answered, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He applied the rhema, the particular passage. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and scholars believe that's about 300 feet high, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, remember Psalms 91, 11, and 12? He will command his angels concerning you. Satan knows the word of God, but he does not know Jesus Christ. He knows what it said. Don't be tricked. And I have to think about this with Jesus at this pinnacle that's about probably 300 feet high. Not having anything to eat or drink, he would have to be absolutely dizzy. His electrolytes would have to be totally out of whack. So it'd be impossible for me, I know, to stand at any elevation with not having any food or water in me for 40 days and nights. But what does Jesus say? Oh, they wanted to say, on their hands they will bear you up unless you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said, again from Deuteronomy, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. His rhema answer. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. The world belongs to him anyway, Jesus Christ. But Satan wanted him to skip the cross. Skip the cross. You don't need to redeem those people. Skip that cross. Conniving. And so what does Jesus do? He answers again from Deuteronomy. Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I want to give you this tip. I do that even now. Get away, Satan. I serve Jesus Christ. And I say it out loud. And my cat's used to hearing me talk to God. I'll say that out loud for my help, for my strength. I'm going to have to take a drink of water. Where's my water? I put it at the foot of my pocketbook. Thank you so much, Marcia. Check. Thank you for who prayed for me about my voice. I couldn't even speak. And I know that excited a bunch of people. But not for this. One of the men at church who was praying for me said to me later, I never thought I'd be praying that you'd have a better voice. And I thought, okay. Okay, he goes on to, but this is what we need to do. This is why we stay in the Word, is because we can answer the attacks of the deceiver by the Word of God. So you have to stay in the Word. Remember in James chapter 4, verse 7? Chapter 4, verse 7 of James. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If our example, Jesus Christ used this scripture to answer all temptations, shouldn't we? He's our example. He's our example. We need to follow him. Boy, I mess up there. But I try my best to ask him through his Holy Spirit to help me follow him. And he is our example. Okay. We read in Hebrews, okay, we're talking about the sword again. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I don't know if I have these on here. I don't think these are on here. Write this down. Hebrews 4, 12. And you can turn if you want to. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Okay, when the Roman soldiers had a sword, it was just a little less than 2 feet long, because it had to be close to him. And it was more, it would work for him and cause him no harm, but be hitting the target. So it cut forward and cut backward. When you're using the Word of God to make a point, remember, it cuts forward and it cuts backward. So be careful. A two-edged sword is designed to be more dangerous to the target because it cuts both ways. It's another thing. This is a sidebar. So many people use terms from Scripture and they don't even know they're using the Scripture. And I have to laugh at that, but we use the term, it cuts both ways. Well, this is what it is. The sword was kept close to the warrior so it could be used instantly without having to look for it. Is our Bible close to us, either in our heart or physically with us? We are to have the Word of God so close to our heart that we can draw on it spontaneously. Remember our procedure book. Okay, the procedure book will protect you. Dr. Billy Graham said this. Hear the word for discern. Hear the word used in KJV for discern. Actually means to judge. And it's from the Greek word kritikos. And used only once in the Bible. Kritikos refers to one whose business and special gifts is to judge. Listen carefully. It is the work of the gospel through the Holy Spirit and understanding of God's word that we are judged and convicted. When we're tempted, we need to trust in the truth of God's word. God warns us all through Scripture what will happen to us if we live to the flesh and not to the Spirit. If we do this, this will happen. Just like our hazmat gun going in. If you use this against this chemical, you're going to have an explosion. If you try putting this out with water, you're going to blow up the whole place. Don't resuscitate someone who's already been breathing poisonous fumes, but use artificial respiration. So all these things are to protect us. So this is a protection that we have through Jesus Christ too. When we're tempted, we need to trust his word. And we say, let's say for instance, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. You can turn to that if you want to. That verse my mama used on me all the time. I never knew why she was quoting that to me all the time and not my brothers and sisters. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Means it, doesn't it? Okay, for he that sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows in the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And then we have James again, James 4, 3 through 17, about going and say, I'm going to go to such and such a place, and I'm going to do this and that, and I'm going to come back wealthy, and this is what I'm going to do. And we're reminded by James, who do you think you are? You're just a mist. It all depends on Jesus Christ. Don't say, I'm going to, because he may have other plans. Say, Lord willing. And don't say it as a byword. Mean it. Lord willing, I will do so and so. And then we have another scripture, 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. That doesn't mean that you have to have a whole lot of money. You can have a nickel. And the love of money overtake you because you want more and more. It's the love of the money. If you do this, this will happen. Then 2 Corinthians 6:14, if you want to jot that down, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? When the hazmat team responds to a spill, toxic substances, or any other biohazard event, they must have that safety data sheet for that particular area. it instructs them as to every chemical, like we said before, every agent that's in there, and what they can do to prevent more trouble. And so we, in our Bible, in our Word, what we just read, God says, hey, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. That's our SDS. The Bible is our SDS sheet, our safety data sheet, and protects us. The Word of God instructs us not to mix our selfish desires with His will, because if we do, we'll suffer a spiritual biohazard outcome. And the problem is, ladies, others suffer with us. When we make wrong decisions, the people around us suffer. I've seen men fall from positions of authority, and others have suffered under them when we make those kind of decisions. We suffer, and we cause other people to suffer. We cause churches to suffer when this kind of thing happens. So do we commit the toxic sin of ignoring God's word, therefore lacking in wisdom and direction? Okay, we are properly suited up with our armor. The belt of truth, as we understand that Jesus is the truth and we follow His instructions. The breastplate of righteousness, knowing that our righteousness is only in Jesus. Putting on the shoes, shod with the gospel of peace, understanding peace comes from the Word of God. And above all, taking up the shield of faith so that we can extinguish the false accusations and the lies of the enemy, and having put on our heads the helmet of salvation, since we know our primary battlefield is in our head. We are thankful that we're guarded by our Holy Spirit, aren't we? And with us always is the sword of the Lord, His holy word, teaching us, warning us, directing us as we face daily battles which are not of this world. Our commander-in-chief has thoroughly suited us up for battle. So let's read verses 18 through 20 of Ephesians 6. 18 and 20. 18 through 20, I'm sorry. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all the perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul reminds us of the importance of praying, and praying not just for ourselves, but for others. And he says, pray for me, that I will boldly open my mouth and speak, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in chains too, ladies. We're held captive by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we should not hold back in speaking for Him. His desire is that we are united in Him. So it is important to pray. Pray this for all the saints. Don't be timid when it comes to speaking for the Lord. And the verse that always scared me when I was growing up, it says, reads this way. For he who denies me before the world, before men, I will deny before my Father. Whoa. Whoa. I think God means what He says. So we have to draw to each other as the days draw near. We have to pray for each other. We need each other. We need to support each other. I would challenge you to pray for each other. And remember, you're part of this tortoise formation. I would like to see groups of women have a tortoise formation ministry. And that means they're going to be united. They're going to protect each other. Not just each other. They're going to protect other women. They're going to protect other churches who are like us and who are teaching the Word of God. We have to do that for each other through Jesus Christ. And He gives us everything we need to be able to do that. So I want you to remember the tortoise formation, not neglecting to meet together as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near, Hebrews 10:25. I want to share this with you. It's kind of like a sidebar. 2-3 weeks ago when I went home from church, I thought, well, I'm going to lie down on the sofa and turn on television because it puts me to sleep immediately. And there was a movie on called The Gladiator. And I thought, okay, because I like war and stuff. I said, okay, I'm going to look at that. And right there in front of my face was the tortoise formation. And they were using it. I said, okay, you go, God. You do this to me all the time. And they had that, and they were in battle. And sure enough, the enemy could not penetrate. Okay, let's pray. And I'll ask questions. Our dear Heavenly Father, help us to understand how important it is that we pray for one another, that we support one another, and have our own tortoise formation. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've done here for us today. We love you, Lord. We want to serve you. And I ask you, bless each person who came through here today. Bless those who wanted to come and couldn't. And God, we commit everything that happens here today. Every outcome of this will be to your glory, to your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, questions and answers. Questions and hopefully answers. Okay, all right, we're going to take up our toxic sins. And then we're going to destroy them. Now, the girls taking those up are taking them up with gloves and masks because they don't want to touch your nasty sins. So they're putting that on so they won't have to touch it or even smell it. So, and then we've got water here that we're going to put in our barrel. Any questions? The Holy Spirit has taught you then. Oh, there's so many sins, it's taken them longer. How many of you truly love Jesus Christ? Yeah. And let me tell you, I told you this before, but when you don't have a husband, he is a perfect husband. I highly recommend him because you don't have to wash his clothes. You don't have to clean the house. You don't have to cook for him. And he loves you no matter what. I love having him as my husband. Highly recommend him. Okay, you ready to throw these in that sea and get rid of those things? Oh, I hope not. No, Joy over there will take us down if we do. I'll throw them in there.
All right.
Okay.
You don't have a glove.
Oh, my gloves. Yeah, those nasty scents. Okay, thank you, ladies, for your attention. Thank you for coming today. This was a blessing. I love it when we can glorify God, and you do too, I can tell. So thank you so much. And again, Covenant Reform, thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, Julie.
Let's sing one more song together. Stand up.
And don't forget to turn your badges in. This is going to be a review.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever.
Couple of quick reminders before we leave. Be sure to fill out the suggestions on that form on the last page of your program and turn your name tags in, and you will get a prize. And listen to this. Our love gift today was $1,310. Yay! Wonderful. Another thing, we really need more team members. So pray for that. And again, thank you so much, Covenant Reformed Church, your ladies, for hosting us. We have broken bread together. We prayed together. We sang together. We heard God's word together. So take all this home and suit up. Put on the whole armor of God, because it's a battle out there. And we've got what we need, right? We've got what we need. And thank you, Kathy, today for sharing with us. And for Julie leading the music, and just for everyone that's being here today, truly has been a gift. So let's pray before we go home. Father, we thank you so much again for this time that we've had. We thank you, and we confess that we often worship not your true self, but who we wish you to be. We too often ask you to bless what we do rather than seeking what you bless. Forgive us for seeking our own way when we should be seeking guidance. Forgive us when we worship, shape you into what we think you should be instead of what you want. Help us to meet you here that we might bow before your unspeakable majesty and so live for you now and forevermore in Christ. Amen. So go in peace, safe travels, and God bless.